Well, greetings again, friends and brethren. I hope this finds everyone doing well. And if we need a title for this message today, it is Afflictions, Persecutions, and Sorrows. Afflictions, Persecutions, and Sorrows. And I've had a little experience of that lately, at least on the affliction side, physically speaking. I've had several things happening at one time here, and I do appreciate everyone's prayers, and it is making a big difference. I haven't been able to speak in a few weeks because I lost my voice, and it's just now coming back to at least where it's audible. I've been pretty squeaky over the last couple of weeks, but so I've got several messages I really want to catch up on and do that I've been contemplating over the last few weeks and the last month, and so I just wanted to begin with this one and hope I can get it all in an hour. That's what the limitation of this new program that I'm using is. It's limited to 1 hour for the streaming media. But many of us, I've thought about this a lot over the last month, but you know, I'm not the only one. I've had my afflictions physically. There's 3, 4, 5 things that I'm dealing with at one time. And it can get you down if you let it. But we have to keep our eyes on the big picture, brethren. So hopefully today I can encourage us all, even myself, because the Word of God is full of encouragement. And you can look up these three words, afflictions, persecutions, and sorrows, in a concordance, and it just permeates the Bible. And there's just literally hundreds and thousands of stories about these three things and how God delivers His people and protects and provides. Afflictions can happen in any number of ways, and we have many brethren right now, and many in the world, but many, you know, in contact with us and brethren that are under afflictions, and that can be physical, or it could be spiritual, it could be mental, emotional, and even financial. So there's a lot of ways we can be afflicted. In persecutions, I've been persecuted quite a bit lately. Of course, that kind of comes with the territory when you're on the front lines with this website and you're speaking publicly on behalf of God and His end-time apostle and His precious truth to defend it. Well, you are going to come under persecution, and I have. I've received quite an array of interesting emails lately from very hateful people. But that's to be expected, and that happened to Jesus Christ, that the very Son of God they call Satan or Beelzebub. They did the same thing to Mr. Armstrong, and any faithful man or woman of God has always had to endure persecutions. And I can tell you this, brethren, if you've not had to deal with persecutions, and if you're holding fast and being faithful to God, you will have to face persecution at some point. And I don't know to what degree, but I know it's going to be worse for those on the front lines. But you just have to deal with it and remain steadfast. So let's begin looking at Psalms chapter 34, and let's just notice something here briefly. Psalms chapter 34, verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, that doesn't say few there, one or two. Oh, the righteous are just going to have one or two afflictions. No, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But notice this here, brethren. But the Eternal delivers him or her out of what? Part of them? No, out of them all. See, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Eternal delivers him out of them all. All of them. See, now do we believe God's Word? We need to have faith. That's Jesus Christ speaking to us through His Word. So take faith, see, brethren, in this message. And it's not just me, this is God's Word speaking here. I'm just voicing it out loud and emphasizing it, but it's God speaking. It's His words, and He's trying to encourage us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivers him out of them all, or her, and He will. So we need to take faith in that. So today we have many people that are having afflictions, some maybe one or two, some multiple, like myself, and then there's some that are having a combination of physical and spiritual and mental and emotional and even financial afflictions all hitting at once. So at times it can be overwhelming and it could cause despair, but God says, don't despair. Don't despair, my children. We'll go on to see that there's encouragement here. But one thing came to my mind as many years ago, whenever I first entered boot camp for the United States Marines, I arrived at Parris Island as a young 17 or 18 year old right out of high school, And first thing you do when you get off the bus is line up on these yellow footprints, and we're long-haired civilians at that time. There's this barracks that you line up the processing center, and there's a big, huge sign there that says, "We did not promise you a rose garden." So while you're being yelled and screamed at and the beginning of your indoctrination takes place, you're looking up at this big sign that says, "We didn't promise you a rose garden," and you're thinking to yourself, "Oh my, what have I gotten into?" But see, it's the same when you're called into the army of God. See, as a Christian, you're a soldier of Jesus Christ, the army of God, spiritually speaking. And you could say almost the same thing in a way. He didn't promise us a rose garden because the Bible shows very definitively that many, like I just read to you, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. See, the Marine Corps doesn't deliver you out of all afflictions. In many cases, you die in those afflictions, or in combat or in battle. So, but we have the great God as a Christian soldier, see, onward Christian soldiers, but we have Jesus Christ as the captain of our salvation. That's captain is a military term for a leader, and he is our leader, our high priest and shepherd, and he will deliver us out of them all, and so says his word. Just notice something in 2 Timothy. So what I'm trying to point out there is, you know, if you're expecting the Christian life to be all smooth sailing, then you're in for a big surprise, brethren, whether you're newly baptized or studying to be baptized or whether you've been baptized 30 or 40 years. God doesn't promise us a rose garden or smooth sailing. And so if things are going a little awry at times, then consider yourself in good company, because if you look at the men of old and women of old down through the history of God's people and his faithful servants, they've all had to endure tremendous affliction and suffering and sorrows and persecutions, every single one of them. Mr. Armstrong said many times in his writings that he was persecuted from the time that he was called, that God called him, and he was persecuted quite a bit, all the way up till he died. And even when the church was had great success at growing at 30% a year and it was being blessed, even then many people of the world still persecuted Mr. Armstrong, see. But you know what? He endured. See, he endured to the end, and we're going to get to that, what that means. But let's look 2 Timothy. I was on my way turning there and I distracted myself. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And let's look beginning in verse 10. He says here, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine," "manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance," verse 11, "persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch." It says, you have carefully followed these things. Persecutions and afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So see, Paul knew here that he was going to be delivered out of all these persecutions, and he was. And this is what he's writing to Timothy. Now notice verse 12. Notice verse 12 here. He says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will" what? "Suffer persecution." So see, if you desire to live godly in Christ, brethren, you will at some point suffer persecution. Some of us are suffering it now, and we probably will continue to. But if you haven't suffered it yet, you're going to at some point, because God's word says so. So just prepare for it, see. verse 13 says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Notice verse 14. But you, see, you brethren, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. What is that? See, the truth, God's word, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood, see, look at that spiritually, spiritual babes, that from that time of spiritual childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in who? Christ Jesus. So, but then, again, just to point out to verse 12 there, it says, yes, in all, Paul says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's no maybe about it. You will. Notice Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to have to speed up a little bit here. A few scriptures to cover. Hebrews chapter 10, and notice verse 32. He says here, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, or enlightened, as it says in the Old King James, in other words, brought into the truth, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Wow. How about that? Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and what? Tribulations. See, that's trials and rough times. Tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, see, he was in chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Verse 35, therefore, see, as a result of this, don't cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance. See, we all do. We all do, brethren, especially at this time, at the very end. We have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then it goes on and shows what that is. But for sake of time, let's speed up a little bit. Please turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and beginning in verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, he's been trying to devour me lately, physically, brethren. And as I told someone, or my brother, recently, that no matter what happens, if I have to die screaming in pain, I'm not going to relinquish or give up my beliefs, this wonderful truth that God has given us. But notice verse 9, it says, resist him, steadfast in the faith. That's how you resist him. Stay steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Wow, see, we're not alone. We're not alone. So if you're suffering out there, you're not alone, friends and brethren. If you're suffering for the right purposes, and you're steadfast in the faith, and you're practicing righteousness or right doing according to God's ways. Notice James, the book of James, something I'd like to point out here in respect to healing. James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, let's begin in verse 10. It says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of what? Suffering and patience. So now we can use that as an example. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. See, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Verse 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Notice verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? See, we ask that question today to ourselves. Is anyone among us suffering? Of course, many can answer yes right now. Well, it says, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. See, rejoice. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. and if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. We'll pause from there, because today we can't do that in the way we used to because of what God's Word says and what history and what the evidence around us shows, that the ministry has gone astray. But does that mean we cannot be healed? Oh, no. Let's go on and read verse 16. Confess your trespasses one to another. Now, that doesn't mean you repent all your sins or bring them all out in front of each other, but there are certain brethren or friends you can have confidence in and say, look, I need prayer and help because I've got this particular problem I need help with. Please pray that God will give me strength to overcome it. So that's what that means. Confess your trespasses one to another, but listen, and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Oh, so we can do that. See, confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, see, avails much. Well, isn't that comforting, friends and brethren? So today we do that. We send emails with prayer requests and phone calls, and we do pray for each other. And guess what? It avails much. And I can tell you, brethren, that your prayers on behalf of me avail much. They very much do, and I very much appreciate them. And they work, because we have a great, wonderful, powerful God who's very much conscious of our doings right now and our work, and he wants to guide us and help us. He wants us to rely on him in faith, and that's how we're going to make it into God's kingdom. Notice verse 19. It gives an example of verse 17 and 18 of the faith of Elijah. Verse 19 says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So that's comforting to know in this work today that we are trying to do that. We see many brethren that have wandered from the truth, as it says in verse 19. And so we're trying to help turn them back. Notice, you don't have to turn there. Just as a reminder of the healing here, is what that you may be healed. Well, a famous verse that Mr. Armstrong used many years ago over and over in Psalms 103, verse 3, God says he heals all of your diseases. See, not he forgives all your iniquities, all your sins, and heals all of your diseases. And he will. That's a promise. Now, that promise does not include exactly when, but the promise is sure, and it will never fail. Now, while we're here in James, turn to chapter 1, please. Let's turn back a couple of pages to chapter 1. And notice verse 2. James says here, my brethren, in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, or as the King James says, tribulations, knowing that, that's verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So, you know, it's one thing to say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because if you're in the midst of a severe trial, it's very hard to count it all joy. It's very hard, isn't it? But yet, God says to do that, count it all joy when we do that. And the reason why, as we're going to see, because that it develops patience in God's character, and that's what he wants us to see. If it was all smooth sailing, you know, if we had no problems as a Christian, this Christian walk, this Christian life, if everything was smooth sailing and no problems, we had our financial life was in order, emotional life, our mental health was in order, our spiritual and physical health was perfect, everything was smooth sailing, guess what? How could you develop God's character? Well, you couldn't. You could not. See? So there's too much tribulation and trials, that as it says there in Psalms 34. And we'll go on to see other scriptures that confirm this. Let's turn to Romans, because it says here in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, that's hard to do, but yet God wants us to, so we have to learn how to do that. Romans chapter 5, please turn to Romans chapter 5. And notice, beginning in verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory, what? In tribulations. Ooh, see, that's like James was just saying, count it all joy. So here he says, not only that, Paul says, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. See here, now we see the process. Tribulation produces, if we endure it, you know, we have glory and joy in it, it produces perseverance, and perseverance, verse 4, character. Wow, see, that's part of our purpose of being called, is to develop God's character. Character, and character, hope. Now, verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. So, there you go. We glory in those tribulations, or we should. Now, it's not easy to do when you're in severe trial, whether it's mental anguish or spiritual or physical pain or pains, many pains, or emotional or financial distress. It's not easy to take joy and to glory in that. But if we remember the big picture and that it's leading to character development, which is what God wants to do, that's the one thing that Mr. Armstrong taught, that God cannot create by fiat, is His character within us. We're free moral agents, so we have to be willing to develop that character. And you can't do it unless there's some kind of resistance that comes against your human nature. And so we have to fight, so we have to overcome something. So we have to overcome that human nature, and we have to learn to rejoice in glory and tribulations and trials, knowing that it will produce perseverance, see, that steadfastness, and that will produce character and hope. So let's notice Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Got to watch my time here. Okay, looks like I'm doing okay here. Hebrews chapter 2, and beginning in verse 9, it says, just verse 9 and 10, it says, but we see Jesus, so here's our example, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So just to pause there, he suffered the most horrible type of physical death, brethren, that it could ever be imagined on this earth, with all the sorrow and war and torture and terror that's going on this planet today and has for thousands of years. No one suffered the type of death that Jesus Christ did, and yet he was without sin the whole time, see, his whole life. So anyway, again, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Verse 10, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. See, that's how he did it, through sufferings. Now, let's drop down to verse 17. It says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. See, it's like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Notice verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, see, or tested, he is able to aid those who are tempted or tested. See, in that he himself suffered, being tempted or tested, he is able to aid those. That's us who are tempted or tested. So if these trials and tests and afflictions and persecutions and sorrows, brethren, are all tests to help develop us. And so where do we find aid then? It's in Jesus Christ. See? He will aid us. So if you pray specifically for aid, say, you know, when you pray and ask God and Jesus Christ specifically to aid you in this particular trial, because he was tested in all way, all things, in all points. See? And he can aid us, and no matter what trial you think you have that's unique, there is no trial that's unique to man. God's gone through them all. He knows what they all are. And so he can help us in them if we ask and have faith, and then have patience and wait and patience and have faith, and know that it will come. So be encouraged by that. See, God has promised, brethren, no matter how bad things seem, God has promised that he will never put more on us than we can handle, or that we're able to handle. That's a promise. Notice in 1 Corinthians is where it's at, that promise. I know this has been discussed over the years, but it's always good to look at this when you're in time of trial and test and affliction and persecution. 1 Corinthians 10, and notice verse 13. Actually, verse 12 is a good way to be, good place to begin. It's a warning to all of us. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Well, there's many today that think they stand, and they're constantly bombarding me with emails showing how wrong I am, how wrong Mr. Armstrong was, and how he was a false prophet. I don't even want to go to some of the details that are so horrible. But these are people that have turned from God's truth. See, their minds have become tainted and distorted, and they turn from God's truth. Verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, isn't that wonderful? And so if we think about this when we're in trial of some kind of affliction, and some of the ones that I've had recently and that I'm still enduring right now is a tremendous level of pain. And I've asked myself, how, because God's promised to do this, how with this temptation will he make a way of escape? Well, the answer will come if I have faith. And it will for you in your trial and temptation, regardless of what it is. Let's read this verse again. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. That is so comforting. See, that is so comforting, brethren. So that's a good memory verse to keep on hand, because these afflictions and persecutions and trials and sorrows are not going to go away anytime soon. They're going to increase. Now, you think about the troubles we have right now, which are just a light affliction or just for a moment in time, and they're nothing compared to what's going on in the world. The world is in horrible shape. So I think about what our calling is and what our purpose is and how we're being called as teachers to help Christ when he returns, when he does set his hand to establish peace on this earth and to finally begin to save mankind and teach him the way. Don't you want to be a part of that? How much do you want to be a part of it? How much do I want to be a part of that? To help my fellow man, see, that's not even been called yet. This earth that's in dire pain and agony right now, and it's getting worse by the day. Of course, the same goes with God's church right now, that the spiritual condition. And it's just as bad, the spiritual condition in God's church overall. How much do we want to help them, see? So, in that respect, yeah, I will endure any type of affliction to be a part of it. And it'll still won't ever compare to what some of these apostles went through, and especially what Jesus Christ went through. Nothing can compare to the affliction. And he did it out of love for mankind, see, so that he could bring that scripture I just read to you, so that he could bring many sons to glory. What a loving God we have, see? How encouraging is that? Notice now 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians in chapter 4, we begin in verse 8. Paul's saying here, he goes, we are hard pressed on every side. See, you talk about persecution here. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, see, he'd been beaten to the ground, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our body. Let's drop down to verse 16. Notice this. Therefore, here's encouragement for us. We should listen to this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. See, that's what Satan wants you to do when you're in these afflictions and trials. He wants to tear you down physically, you know, mentally, spiritually, financially, emotionally, any way he can. He wants to tear you down. He wants to make you doubt God's word and God's truth. He wants you to be destroyed. Don't let that happen. Don't lose heart. No matter what kind of trial you go through, count it joy. Why? Because you're developing God's mind in the process. If you hold fast, see, to that truth and cling to God and cling to his word. So if you're enduring trials right now, and you haven't given up hope in God and His Word, then guess what? You are on your way to His kingdom. Yes, you are. And I'll show you the scripture for that very shortly here. You're on the way to God's kingdom if you just continue to endure. Let me continue reading verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, yes, through the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, for our light affliction, that's what it is. See, that's what he was accounting, all these trials and afflictions and persecutions and jailings and beatings that he went through. He says it was just a light affliction. See, so he put it in the right perspective. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, see, a twinkling of time, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, isn't that beautiful? In verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. See, that's what we do, brethren. We should. For the things which are seen are temporary. Everything around us, all this physical life, the society, the system that we live in of Babylon, it's all temporary. This physical body that we have, your financial situation, your mental state, your spiritual state, all these things that are around us, not so much the spiritual state. Hopefully it's in good shape or getting that way, but the physical environment, the things that are seen, those are temporary, he's saying here. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, see, are eternal. So that Spirit of God that's in you, that dwells in you, is eternal. So you want to keep that joined with your human spirit so that you will be able to live forever into God's kingdom. So let's notice Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, begin in verse 22. Paul says here, he goes, and see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me. So he's got faith. He said, I'm going to go in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me. Verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So he knows what's ahead of him, but he's going to do it anyway. Well, it's the same with us, with this work, what it's going to lead to. We're going to meet resistance. The more that this website and this work is being magnified as God magnifies it according to His will, and the more attention that is brought up on it and me and anyone associated with us, well, guess what? Chains and tribulations are going to await us. Notice verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me. See? So he's not moved by any of these things. They didn't scare Paul. They didn't worry him. So regardless of the afflictions that he had to go through, it didn't move him off of his foundation. He was steadfast. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And so that's what he did. He did finish his race with joy. And he finished it with joy, even though he endured many afflictions and persecutions and sorrows and afflictions. Many, see. Notice John chapter 16. Gospel of John chapter 16. And notice verse 33. The voice is starting to go on me here. This is Jesus Christ here speaking. Let's look at verse 32. Christ says in verse 32, indeed the hour is coming, yes, now has come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. See, that's a promise from Christ. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he set us an example, brethren, that we're going to have tribulation, but yet we're to overcome it, endure it, see? And that's what he did. He overcame, and he's our example, our high priest. Notice book of Acts again, chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And begin verse 19, it says, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul. Now, you think he was persecuted and afflicted? They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went to the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, listen, we must through many tribulations or trials enter into the kingdom of God. So that's what I was saying earlier. See, if you're enduring trials and tribulations and tests right now, my friends and brethren, and you are of the mind of Jesus Christ and following Christ and the teachings of his apostles, that includes the end time apostle, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, and if you're enduring these trials in that faith, then guess what? You're on your way to the kingdom of God, because it says right here, we must through many trials or tribulations, depending on what version you're reading, enter the kingdom of God. So see, it's not an easy walk. It's not a cakewalk. It's not easy sailing. And it wasn't for Jesus Christ, and it wasn't for any of his apostles, and most of the Christians that have lived down through the ages, especially in the Middle Ages, what few true Christians there were martyred. And there's going to be another martyrdom here in the end times. So says God's word, when the tribulation comes, and a vast majority of God's people are going to be caught in it. How sad. How sad. It shouldn't have to be that way. And that's part of what this website is about, and this warning is for all of God's people, but also for us that are holding fast. See, we're no better than them. We just, by the grace of God, our eyes have been anointed where we can see again. And so it should humble us. It should humble us very low and increase our thanksgiving towards the great God for his grace and love and mercifulness to allow us to be waking up at this time. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. My voice is getting little skitties here. At least I have it back. I haven't been able to speak much at all lately. Okay, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. It says, let me check my time. Okay. Beginning in verse 31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now see, that's an encouragement. That's a wonderful encouragement right there. Verse 32, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not be with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. See, so we're going to have a lot of charges brought against us. Some are already beginning to make accusations against at least me and this website, what it represents. But you know, so what? I want to follow Paul's example, not let these things move me. And perhaps that's why I've been undergoing some tremendous afflictions lately. I don't know. But it has definitely tested my faith. I can tell you that. But hopefully it will increase my faith too, brethren. I hope it does. Continuing on, it says in verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So that's all we have to worry about. We don't worry about who condemns us, because it's our shepherd, see, our high priest, who's the one who's died and been raised, not these ones who throw accusations. They can talk all they want, but it's Christ that we worship. He's the one standing at the right hand of God, see? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Nope. Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? See? Let's read that again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? None of these things should, brethren. None of them. Verse 36, that is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See? But notice verse 38. I love this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah, brethren. I couldn't help but say that. It's just so wonderful. And if you believe that verse and read it and study it, and this verse 38 and 39, then nothing will separate you from Jesus Christ and that love that he has for us. Yeah, I want to be just like it says. That's what my goal is. I want to be persuaded, see? Paul says, I'm persuaded, see? He was convinced that nothing, life, death, angels, principality, nothing. All these things that he read will separate us from Christ. So that's what I want to be, is persuaded, you know, totally convinced. And when I get to that point, and you get to that point, we'll have total faith, see? And that's what we need in this time of no faith, where God's people have lost faith in God. And they're often believing every wind of doctrine, see? Doctrines of men, traditions of men. They've departed from the great God. Notice, it's spiritually, it's a sad and sorrowful time. It is. It's a sorrowful time that we're living in this world, and in spiritually, in the history and the time of God's church. The majority of God's people are asleep to it. Notice Matthew 24. Excuse me. Matthew 24. And it says here in verse 2, Christ says, do not see all these things, assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. As he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when all these things will be, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. So what is going to be that sign, see? And so he gives them several things. He gives them several things to look at. And he says, first, verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying that I, Jesus, am the Christ, and will deceive many. Well, that's happened, and today it's happening in God's church, because many are saying, yeah, Jesus is Christ, and we are that part of that church of God that's holding fast, blah, 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 and they're not. They're of a Laodicean, watered-down doctrine church of God. So this verse has been fulfilled in this world, but it's also been fulfilled spiritually today in God's church. And you got to remember, he's speaking here to his disciples, see, those who follow him. But verse 6 says, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, and the end is not yet. So see, those things are happening now. But notice verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places where all those things have been happening. And notice what he says in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So, brethren, we've been in the beginning of sorrows now for some time. See, in this end time that began in 1931, and Mr. Armstrong said, in Mystery of the Ages, that's when it began, the end time, that was about the time where this beginning of sorrows began. Now, I'm just speculating there, but if you look at the context of what Christ is saying, these things that are leading up to the very end, the beginning of sorrows, that happens before the tribulation, see? Because he goes on to say in verse 10, many will be offended, betray one another. Verse 11, false prophets. Verse 12, lawlessness and the love of many will grow cold. So do we see all these things happening? Of course we do. Verse 14, that's fulfilled prophecy, see? Gospel being preached to the world. He said, before all that, he said, the beginning of sorrows. So we've been in the beginning of sorrows, but it's getting worse, is my point. And so today we can begin to see that it's not just in the world, but it's even in God's own church, because it's a sorrowful thing to see God's people fall asleep and be so deceived and so dead asleep that it's going to take the tribulation to wake most of them up. And then further down in verse 21, here's where the tribulation comes. See, for then will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So, in verse 22, it says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive, as the prophet says, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So, that's a tribulation that you don't want to be in. See, the Bible says we, through much tribulation, must enter into the kingdom of God. That's trials and tests. But then here's a period of time that's never happened before. And brethren, we don't want to be caught in that one. We do not want to be in that great tribulation. So rejoice in the tribulations that you're in now, the daily trials and tests. God says to rejoice in them and to have glory in them and to learn. Why? Because they develop perseverance, endurance, and patience and character. See? Those are all aspects of God's character. And they help to develop that character. Because if it was easy sailing, we wouldn't be developing anything. Again, but see, back here in verse 13, it says, here's the key, because Paul had said before we need endurance. Well, look what Christ says here in verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So we have to endure something. You know, if it was easy sailing, there wouldn't be anything to endure, would there? See, what do you mean endure? Everything's fine. Well, if you're having to go through afflictions and persecutions and sorrows and trials and tests, well, that means it has to be something you have to endure. So now we know what it is. Otherwise, Christ wouldn't say that. He just says, well, just keep on smooth sailing to the end, and you'll be saved. No, he didn't say that. He says endure to the end. That means it's going to be something hard to do. So it is hard. But we can help each other through prayer and through communication. And again, I want to turn back. I know I began here. I want to turn back before I close. I have a couple more verses, but I want to turn back first to where I began, just to put emphasis on it. I'm trying to keep this message down about 50 minutes if I can, or at least less than an hour. But it's Psalms, again, back where I began, Psalms 34. It just in light of what the few scriptures that I brought to you, let's just look at this verse again, Psalms 34 and verse 19. It says, many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, not one or two or just a couple. It doesn't say smooth sailings is the way of the righteous. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the eternal, see, here's the good news. The good news. The eternal delivers him or her out of them all. Not just some of them, all of them. So we have to have faith in that, brother. Absolute faith in that word. And he will perform it. Finally, let's turn to Revelation chapter 21, and we'll see what happens in the very end, which is really the beginning, the end of the millennium, which really is the beginning of forever for God's family. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Notice verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. How encouraging is that, brethren? Verse 5 says, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these things, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Notice verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now see, it doesn't say there in verse 7 that he who was Philadelphian, or he who was Laodicean, or Philadelphian, or Thyatira, or Ephesian, shall inherit all things. See, I've talked about this before on who inherits the kingdom of God. Christ says here at the very end, he who overcomes, that's who, he or she who overcomes, shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So that's so clear and so simple. But the emphasis I wanted to put on here in verse 4, it says there will be no more death. See, we're all these afflictions and persecutions and the sorrows, and this is emphasizing the state of sorrows, because there will be no more sorrow. nor crying. See, crying is a result of sorrow, but it's also a result of pain and affliction and persecutions. There shall be no more pain. Well, it didn't say just physical pain there. You know, that could include mental anguish, emotional pain. See, many of us suffer from that and things we've experienced in our life. No more physical pain certainly does include that. But spiritual or mental or emotional, isn't that a beautiful time? There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So, brethren, that's where our faith, that's what we look forward to. So, in the meantime, God's Word pretty much promises us that we are going to have trials and tribulations, afflictions, persecutions, and sorrows. So we have to understand the big picture that we have to endure these things. And as I had mentioned, you know, put in your mind there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that He'll never, it's a promise from God Almighty, He'll never put more on us than what we're able to take or able to bear. And we'll, with that actual trial, make a way of escape. And that's very encouraging. So the question is, when we go through these, try to keep the mindset, and that's what I've asked myself lately. How can I do this when I'm in so much pain? And I went for almost 3 weeks with no sleep, with about an hour to maybe 45 minutes of sleep each night for almost 3 weeks. Well, it began to take its toll, but I'm on the upside now. I'm getting more sleep. I certainly did last night, so I'm on the healing side, and I appreciate everyone's prayers. But just take heart. And take confidence in God's Word and be encouraged by it. And continue to pray for each other, brothers and sisters, see, of the same family, praying for each other, lift each other up, and have faith in God Almighty and His Word and these things that I mentioned today. And there's a lot more. I just touched the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more on this subject right here that is very encouraging, because God will deliver us out of them all these afflictions and persecutions and sorrows. We just have to have faith and believe. And sometimes it seems like it's a little overwhelming. But have faith in God. And get on our knees and ask God for deliverance. And He will. See, He will. So I hope it's been helpful. And I do love you all. So till next time, do take care.